Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Lots and lots of reaction to Elon Musk and the attempted purchase of Twitter. And I say attempted because although the headlines have been agreed, it still has to go through a couple of hurdles. Lots of very, very interesting reaction. I have to say that I don't have any, because I just don't really understand what this means. And I think that we need to try and understand it before we take, before we react to it. Professor Anton Harbers, Executive Director of the Campaign for Free Expression. Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I think I'll tweet that out.
Absolutely. Well, in the absence of alternatives, it does look like people are stuck with Twitter, which is also something that is quite interesting, that nothing else has developed. As much as everybody hates, both loves and hate Twitter's, probably in equal measure, so we still use it as a platform. What do you think this Elon Musk situation is going to mean to the platform?
Well, I think we should be worried and concerned. You know, for the social media platforms are so ubiquitous and so powerful and so influential and so important. And we now see the biggest four in the globe owned by two billionaires who have not shown themselves, shall I say, to be strong on the ethics side, to put it politely. And I think that any situation where two billionaires can have such power and influence, untrammeled power, because Zuckerberg, for example, has absolute control of his company, and now Musk will have of his if this gets approved. I think that's too much power invested in two men, too little accountability. It's a barely regulated industry. It's just starting to be regulated in Europe. But certainly in America or here, it's not regulated. So I think we should be concerned about that power.
There was that concern in any event, and I know that when we were having discussions about maybe Donald Trump being removed from the platform, other people remaining on, there was this concern that there wasn't a transparent process that could be viewed with criteria looked at, and it was almost the sense that because of the fast growth by both Twitter and, for example, Facebook, that the systems just weren't managing to keep up with the demands and with the nuances.
I think you point to something very important, which is managing and monitoring what these platforms carry is a terribly complex and difficult task, as they've learned over 15 years of trying. So when Elon Musk casually says contradictory things, he says he wants to reduce monitoring, and he says he wants it to be a trusted medium. Well, I think we've learned that those things contradict each other. Because if you have, and let me say, I say this from the position of a free speech activist in Stalwart. I want maximum free speech on these outlets. But the fact is that if you don't control how they're used, then you get pornography, you get threats, harassment, you get misogyny, dangerous misogyny. You get interference from foreign countries like Russia, as we saw during
we've seen it in South Africa with our own with the Zuma administration.
Exactly. All of these platforms started to say they wanted no or minimal interference. They wanted to just be platforms. But it became apparent quite quickly that that's not possible, because they just consume themselves. They become intolerable. They become overtaken by bots and crazies and dangerous people. But they've grappled with to what extent and how they manage such an enormous network and monitor what's online and prevent hate speech, for example. Twitter's been one of the better ones, I must say. But they've all struggled to be open, consistent, reliable in dealing with this. So his casual remarks about how he wants to have less moderation indicate to me that he hasn't really thought through the complications and what they've learned over 15 years of trying to do them.
And isn't our discomfort with what is there and what is presented, isn't that a critical part of the platform? Shouldn't we always be uncomfortable to a greater or lesser extent? Aren't these conversations that we need to be having all the time?
You know, nobody wants to stop uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Or discomforting or unpleasant conversation. And for that, it's wonderful. It allows people the freedom to say a whole range of things that otherwise they have trouble airing. So that's a fantastic element of social media. But, you know, what we want to keep an eye on is dangerous hate speech, threats of violence, child pornography, and just harassment and trolling and interfering bots make these platforms unpleasant and unusable.
I just wonder.
You know, it's like any medium. You have to have editors or controlling people who say, we respect freedom of speech, but we want to actually deliver something that's useful and interesting and provocative and takes the public debate forward. You know, we rarely, these are rarely public utilities. They are platforms there to enable public discussion and discourse, and they're incredibly valuable in that. And we should be moving towards seeing them as public utilities, not the sole property of eccentric billionaires.
It's really fascinating to watch this evolve, because hate speech for me could be very different to hate speech in terms of my understanding, or somebody else living in a completely different experience somewhere else in the world. That is why it's virtually impossible. I mean, there's certain things that are very clear, universally clear. If you look at inciting violence, if you look at child pornography, those are the things that are clear. But other things might not be. And those are the areas, I think, that possibly this now is going to become a lot more volatile.
Well, you know, Elon Musk says clearly the starting point and the minimal point is to comply with the law of the countries in which you operate. Now, that's already difficult because countries have very different laws and very different practices and very different cultures and very different views of these things. So America is the First Amendment. So stuff we would consider out of order because it is hate speech or promotes violence is often protected there. So and that's just if you're dealing with what the law says. But there's a whole range of you know, if you having a platform, like any platform, if you publish a newspaper, it's not just compliance with the law, it's compliance with good taste and not allowing harassment and misogyny.
Yeah, the problem is
like
defining good taste, you know, and it's such a universal platform. I just want to read you a message from one of our listeners saying, I entirely disagree with your guest, which is a good thing. That's what we're talking about exactly. Elon Musk is a beacon for free speech, who has in fact promised that he would get rid of bots and anonymous so that any user has to say things in their own name and take responsibility for it. Your reaction to that?
Well, there's a contradiction in that, because if you're a free speech absolutist, then, you know, anonymous material can also be valid. And sometimes people have good reason to be anonymous. So then you have to decide what anonymity you allow and don't allow. But, you know, Elon Musk's record on free speech is not terribly good. So he's proclaiming himself an advocate of absolute free speech now, but his record is a spotty one on that in his own companies. So, you know, that's part, you know, that's something to bear in mind. The other thing to bear in mind is that, I'm a lover and advocate for free speech. I run an organization that promotes free speech. But the reality is you have to find a balance between free speech and hate speech, for example, or the promotion of violence, or when Putin can use it to interfere in elections in the US or in the UK. These are complicated and difficult things that you do have to get on top of and can't.
Yes, because whereas this listener might be coming into it from a perspective of decency and saying, well, everybody should be able to air their opinion, even if it's a strange one, or even if it's something you disagree with, there's still a bona fide there. When you've got a Russia interfering, or as we've seen in South Africa in the past with Jacob Zuma and the bots and creating an alternative dangerous reality and sowing divisiveness, that becomes very problematic. So it's ill intent that ruins it, doesn't it?
No, that's absolutely true. Nobody wants to stop opinions that are controversial or we disagree with or we dislike or make us uncomfortable, even that make us angry. Nobody wants to stop that. But there are malevolent users, professional malevolent users who want to use it to undermine democracy, for example. And we're seeing throughout the Western world that our democracies are fragile at the moment. So these are realities one has to deal with. One can't be simplistic about it.
And that is all we have time for. Unfortunately, it's a conversation that we can continue to have. It's going to be one, I have no doubt, that we will continue to have. Professor Anton Harbour, thank you. Executive Director of the campaign for free expression.